John chapter 6, verse number 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So Jesus is in Capernaum in Galilee, and that's Simon Peter's home. And as he spoke to them, they said, well, if you show us something that we can believe, we'll believe it. Now, Moses gained our trust when he gave us manna. Right? Verse number 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. That's a miracle. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And so they attached that miracle, and that's not the only miracle. There were other miracles, right, that Moses was attached to. And so by Moses' miracles, of course, we know that it was God, right? Moses raised the rod up over the sea, and it didn't part like it does in TV, right, in the movies. There was a wind that blew all night to part the water, to blow back the water. And they walked across on dry ground. But they give the credit to the man. And Moses did that. You know, Moses threw his rod down, it turned into a serpent. Yeah, but he didn't make it turn into a serpent. In fact, the first time it did that, it scared him to death. Right? But Moses saw great miracles and experienced great wonders. But they say, well, that gave him credibility. But what do you do so that you have credibility? Jesus says in verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, so the symbolism or the picture, the type in Exodus, when God gave manna from heaven, that was to sustain them. That was to give them life. That was to fulfill them, to satisfy them, right? Because they were hungry. And God gave them manna, not just one time, but he gave it to them continuously every day except the Sabbath throughout the time they were there. In fact, we read in the book of Numbers where it says, and they did eat of that land in that year, and the manna ceased. When they finally reached the place where they could eat food, where they could grow food, they didn't need manna anymore. But in their need, God provided what's referenced here as the bread from heaven. But Jesus says the true bread that gives the life that comes from heaven is he which cometh down from heaven. Verse number 34, they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want that. We want it. If you've got it, you've got a way to get it. We want it. Isn't it incredible how people think they want something until they know what it is, then all of a sudden they're not as interested? I don't know about you, but every once in a while I'll drive by a dealership and look at a truck. I say, I want that truck, and then I get out and see the tag, and I get right back in the truck and drive off. Have y'all seen the prices of those things these days? Goodness. And that's just, you know, being silly. But think about the things. He says, well, I got it right here. Do you want? Oh, we want it. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Right? By the way, did you notice those first two words? I am. I every time Jesus says, I am, I imagine a thunder of heaven. I am. Just like he said in Exodus to Moses, I am. Well, who do I say sent me? Tell them I am. That's who sent you. I am. He said, I am the bread of life. Guys, we don't need to look anywhere else for the bread of life. The life that comes down, the bread that came down from heaven that gives us life. And look at what he says. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Guys, he's all we need. He's all we need. And when we start thinking we need something else or somebody else, if we'll go back to Jesus, we'll realize we already have everything we need. Some man's not going to satisfy it. Some woman's not going to satisfy it. Some meal's not going to satisfy it. Some new theology's not going to satisfy it. There's something in us that only Jesus can satisfy. And when we begin to think we might need something else, all we got to do is go back to Jesus, and we realize we don't need anything else. But I'll tell you that the problem is sometimes we look to religion, and religion won't satisfy you. Jesus satisfies us. And how do we get Jesus? By reading His Word, by spending time in worship and prayer, and just spending time with Him. It's when we start thinking of all the other ways, you're going to try to satisfy God and try to please God, and we get busy and we get distracted, but it's Jesus, Jesus, that satisfies us. Give us this bread, they said. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at Him. Hold on a second, I thought you said you wanted it. Yeah, never mind, we don't want it. Because He said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I came down from heaven? He didn't come from heaven, He came from Nazareth. And by the way, when they say it Nazareth, you remember Brother Cribb Sunday night, how he said Pahokee? They kind of say it with that same disgust, it's Pahokee. He came from Nazareth. Who does he think he is? He came from Nazareth. And nothing special comes out of Nazareth. That was the idea they had. We know his parents. His parents are nothing to speak of. He doesn't have some big family name with some high regard. He's nobody. He says he came from heaven. Well, he did. Physically, he was born in Bethlehem. But when Mary received the seed, it was the seed of God, not Joseph. It says He came down from heaven. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. Guys, if you're going to complain, complain out loud. Don't whisper to each other. I'm right here. You can say it where I can hear you. I'll answer your argument. But they didn't really want an answer, did they? They just wanted to gossip. Stir up trouble and murmur. Complain. He says, rather than complain to each other, why don't you talk to me? Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. He said, guys, there's only one way for you to get to me, and that's if the Father brings you to me. Isn't that interesting? Because no one goes to the Father but by the Son. But no one comes to the Son except the Father invites them. Unless He draws them in. Wow. So it's not that God doesn't want us. God's the one that initiates it. But we can't get there without Jesus. He made one way. And that's salvation. Verse number 45, He says, it's written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. He said, the question is this, who are you listening to? Where are you getting your insight and your instruction and your wisdom? Guys, we all need to look at that. You know, where is it coming from? Where is this, are we on the same, do we have the same goal? Are we on the same team? Are we working for the same things? Right? Because these guys, they say that they want to serve God. And then Jesus comes along and He says, well, this is the way God wants it. And if you'll listen to Him, He'll show you this is the way He wants it. But the problem is they were listening to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and what they were saying God wanted, God never said. Guys, we got to be careful about what preachers tell us to do and make sure that our preachers are listening to God. Because we don't want to do what preachers want, we want to do what God wants. And hopefully the preacher's on page with God. And if he's not, maybe it's time for a new preacher. He says, if you're listening to God, you'd be following me. Look at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's the kind I want. What about you? We come back to the debate of evolution and is there a God? Is there anything after this? Well, let me tell you something. If there was nothing after this, then what's the point? Guys, I don't understand why anybody wants a hopeless theology or philosophy. Now, I'm not saying that there's something after this just to give us something to work toward or to hope for. But guys, look around you. There's more to this world. There is a creator ahead of it. There was a creator that designed it. There's a creator with a plan. We used to sing that song when we were in Sunday school, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, trust me, he's got it all figured out. He's got it scheduled. He's got it designed. He's got it planned. You were not an accident. You might have surprised your mama, but you didn't surprise God. God made you on purpose with a purpose. Jesus says that if we believe in Him, believe on Him, we have everlasting life. Verse 48, He restates it, I am that bread of life. Understand something, and because this text can be very confusing. When anybody comes to me and says, I want to read the Bible, I always say, start with John. Start with John, then you go back to Matthew, read all the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way through to the book of Jude. Leave Revelation for later and go back to Genesis and start all over and read all the way through and then pick up Revelation at the end. That's my recommendation every time. And I was listening to the radio today and that pastor on there was saying the same thing. Guys, John is the simplest writer. Easiest to understand. He's talking in a way that we can all understand it. But here, what Jesus says, it can be confusing. He says, I am the bread of life. But between verse 49 and verse 59, he references back to where this discussion started, which was where? Moses, manna, the bread from heaven. So he goes back and he's drawing a parallel. He's showing us the symbolism. And he says to them in verse 49, your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I'm talking about eternal life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Look at what he says. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, they got stuck here, didn't they? Because they forgot we were talking about a parallel and symbolism. And they said, we got to eat his flesh. Now, he's telling us that if we're going to serve God, we got to do what he says, and we got to eat his flesh. No, that's not what he said. He's using the symbolism. He's referencing the manna. But if they came out that morning and they saw it, remember he says like coriander seed, they came out to get the manna. What if they didn't take the manna? What if they said, we don't believe we'll take that? What would they have done? They would have starved. But they received it. They accepted the gift of God the way it was intended, and they lived. And so that's what he's saying here. He's not saying to eat and drink literally. He's referencing the manna. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They said, we can't go along with that. We can't do what he's asked us to do. Why? They misunderstood. How many of you ever misunderstood something? What did you do to get it figured out? Ask more questions. Have a conversation. Ask them to explain it. Keep trying till you understand it. But here's the problem. How many of you have ever lost friends over a misunderstanding because either you weren't willing to discuss it or they weren't willing to discuss it? All I had to do is talk about it. But over a misunderstanding, they left. Now, excuse me, let me look at this word right here in verse number 60, and it says his disciples. You understand, these were people, it's like when people come to church here. And they come to church for a little while, and then they reach a certain point where there's either a misunderstanding or a disagreement. It might not be a misunderstanding, it might just be an outright disagreement, right? And they say, we're done, we can't listen to this anymore, and they walk out. Well, I can understand people leaving Capitol Heights a whole lot more than I can understand people walking away from Jesus. But they say, we can't hear this. It's too hard to listen to. Too hard to hear. We can't understand it. Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said to them, does this offend you? This is too hard. This is too much. You're offended by this? He said, now what if you saw the Son of Man ascending to glory? What if you were standing there and I just started lifting up into the sky? Then what? Verse number 62. To where he was before. We must be willing to have our beliefs challenged in order to grow. We must be willing to research and ask questions if we're going to learn. Brother Andy called me yesterday, I think it was. Might have been the day before yesterday. And he just asked me a question. We weren't on the phone 10 seconds. How are you, brother? Good. What's happening? And he sprung a question on me, a Bible question. I said, I'll call you back. Hung up. I knew the question. But here's the thing, I knew if Brother Andy was questioning, if he is asking that question, there must be something I need to look at. And I said, well, I better look at that. Maybe I don't know what I thought I knew. Maybe I've been misunderstanding this all along. Let me look it up. And so I looked, and we just texted after that. But I found the answer. I found it. I said, I still need to study on it, but I found it. I found where I believe what I believe. But where did I go to get the answer? Google? Right? The Baptist Association? No, I went to the Bible. Because my great fear in the question that he asked was that maybe I had been leaning too much on the teaching of others and the tradition and not on the Scripture. We need to be based on Scripture, and it turns out we are, but, you know, anytime a question comes up, rather than have a misunderstanding, rather than just let it fall flat, research it, look it up, find the answer in the Bible. Why do you believe what you believe? Is it in the Scripture? Because a preacher said so. And I appreciate your confidence and your trust. But when you stand before God, it better come out of the Scripture. You better be able to say, well, the Bible says. And you know, fortunately here, you can say, well, the preacher read it right out of the Bible. Right? He didn't make it up. He read it right out of there. He said, this offends you? He said, guys, it's going to get harder. The questions are going to get harder. We got to be willing to dig in. We got to be willing to research it. Got to be willing to find the answer instead of just get our feelings hurt or feel dumb and quit. How many of you ever felt dumb and quit? There have been several times in my life where I thought, boy, when I was in paramedic school, we had a Christmas break. And then that Christmas break, I think it was 2 weeks, I was trying to figure out how I could gracefully bow out because it was getting hard. So there's no way I can learn all, no way I can know all this, no way I can pass the test. Something's got to happen, you know. Maybe I'll break my leg and not be able to go back. I was looking for any way I could to get out of it. Why? Because I didn't understand it, and it got harder and it got harder. Guys, that's how it is. When the questions get harder, dig deeper. Find better resources. He says in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. You ever notice that? You could be tired. until the right person calls on the phone and all of a sudden you got all the energy to talk and listen. The right person knocks on the door and all of a sudden you can go out and go on the town. But before they got there, you were tired. Right? You say, well, what are you going to do today? I don't know, just lay around the house. Well, you want to go fishing? Yeah, I think I'll do that. You got enough energy to go fishing all of a sudden, but before you were too tired. What? Because there's something inside of us called the spirit. It had nothing to do with the flesh. It had to do with your interest. It had to do with your energy. It had to do with the joy inside of you and the longing inside of you. Maybe it wasn't the fishing that excited you. Maybe it was the fellowship. The right person comes along and says, let's go. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit. They are life. But there are some of you that don't believe. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you see that he tried to get them to stay? He tried to get them to stay. They were done. What are you going to do when someone's done? Not much you can do. Verse 67. Jesus said to the 12. So the disciples, you understand, I think we just talked about this at the Brotherhood the other day. Disciples, when you go to college, you study a discipline. Or in the military, you study a discipline. Well, there's a discipline that says, this is the line of training or the line of learning I'm going to do. I'm going to be a teacher or scientist or a doctor. That's a discipline. And the word disciple, that's who's studying it. That's the student. So Jesus' disciples, the discipline they're studying is Christianity. But then there were 12 more out of those disciples. There were 12 that he took a little more interest in, and he called them apostles. When he sent out the disciples, he gave them power. But the apostles, they were the pastors, if you will. They were the assistant pastors. They were with Jesus in all the ministry. They were right there beside him, learning all the time, teaching all the time, serving all the time, which is what church is about. So the 12, the apostles, he looked at them and he said, will ye also go away? Jesus was giving them the out. You see, a lot of people left. And so he said to the 12, guys, I mean, if you want to go too, now's the time. And Simon Peter. We looked at Simon the other day. Remember, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember? Jesus had just called him Satan. He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. So, and then here he is again, stepping up. Because you have the disciples, and then you have the 70, and then you have the 12, and then you have the 3. Peter, James, and John. There were 12 that went with Jesus everywhere, but when Jesus got apart, it was always those 3 he called. And Peter steps up, and Jesus says, will you also go away? And Simon Peter saith unto him, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I mean, where are we going to go, Lord? We got nowhere else to go. There's no other place we're going to find the answers that you've got. There's nowhere else we can go and talk to the Son of God. Man, Jesus is able to teach them. These 3 and these 12, they must have been the greatest scholars of their time. They didn't go to the school in Jerusalem. They went to school with Jesus everywhere he went. But man, when somebody was talking about something in the Old Testament, Jesus was there. Well, Lord, how did it really all come about? Creation. You know? Maybe you've heard it said that God stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and created everything. Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. He could tell them all about creation. He could tell them all about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and the exile and the flaming sword. He could tell them all about those things. I don't know if they ever talked about it. We don't have it recorded. But I imagine he had, you imagine after they had dinner and they're sitting out in the hills of Galilee looking up at the stars. And Jesus just telling them all about the world and what it's all about. And all about God's calendar and what it's all about. I imagine they knew a whole lot more than we know that they know. Peter says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Guys, the answers. There are lots of good programs and good teachings and good exercises, but without Jesus, we have no hope. We need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. When it comes to church, they don't need church unless the church gives them Jesus. Let's stand. Father, as we look at this tonight, what an incredible event, and how great it is to be reminded and to be excited about these words. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The bread of life, the bread which come down from heaven, the true bread that come down from heaven and giveth life. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for loving us and for never leaving us. God, go with us, strengthen us, forgive our sins, make us useful to your purpose. Give us an opportunity this week to help somebody with the gospel. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.